Hello, this is Wade Thiessen from Sweetwater, Tennessee, and I listen to Bible Believers Fellowship. I'm very grateful for Pastor Gregory Miller's teaching and preaching on God's infallible Word, the King James Bible, Rightly Divided.
Join us at bbfohio.com and bbfohioradio.com. Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com as we begin our study in Luke chapter 2, verses 6 through 14, titled Country Shepherds and the Heavenly Host. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com or send letters along with any check or money order contributions to support the ministry. Address to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button on the right-hand side of the screen or by using the drop-down menu on our mobile site at bbfohio.com. And now we begin our study in Luke chapter 2, covering verses 6 through 14. The study is titled, Country Shepherds and the Heavenly Host. This is part one of two.
That's good. The current events of today is the apostasy with liberals using, liberals use fake religion to cloak its lawlessness. We've talked about this similar things over the months, but this is an example. The Evangelical Lutheran Church declares itself a sanctuary denomination. So the Evangelical Lutheran Church is an apostate Lutheran denomination. There is the Missouri Synod and a Wisconsin Synod that are more conservative. The Evangelical Lutheran Synod is made up of all kinds of liberals, Bible-rejecting, gospel-rejecting types. And they have now declared their denomination, which means any ELCA church. There's one down here by the Masonic Lodge in Linworth, and I'm not sure where others. There are others in the area. And if someone is an illegal and wants protection from the government, then they can run into those churches and they'll try to hide them and take care of them. And they describe it this way: the evangelical. And this is from a website called Frauds, Crooks, and Criminals. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America today at the 2019 Churchwide Assembly declared itself a sanctuary denomination dedicated to serving and supporting the protection of migrants in communities nationwide. Now, they just lied. A migrant doesn't need protection.
That's right.
It's an illegal that they're protecting. So you have to read carefully because they lie. The ELCA is the first mainstream church body in America to declare itself a sanctuary denomination, so just look out. All the other liberal apostate denominations will follow suit. It says, Christians have offered sanctuary for 2,000 years, continuing an ancient biblical practice in which cities and houses of worship provide refuge and asylum for people fleeing injustice. End quote. Well, what they don't tell you is first of all, that's when the church-state situation exists, which we don't have a state church or church-state set up. That's why we have a First Amendment. Congress will pass no law establishing religion. So it's only under those circumstances where this even has happened in Christian history. But they have not provided refuge and asylum for people who are criminals, and an illegal is a criminal. That's right. So once again, you have to read carefully when you read these things because they lie. And I'm not going to go through that whole paragraph, but that's the gist of it. Now, the irony of this whole thing is how that liberals are dying at the hands of their own lawlessness. How many of you remember we showed the liberals and there's been numerous, this one couple that went into, I think it was Kazakhstan or whatever, and they killed them. And they were saying, oh, men, people are inherently good. That's a lie. The Bible says men are depraved. That's why we need saved. But if you believe in the inherent goodness of man, then you think you can go through any country and be unmolested. And you see, women have been going into places like Morocco all by themselves and blogging about it to brag about how good people are. And then they end up being raped, and some of them have been raped and killed. Well, here's another example. Immigrant should say, illegal immigrant advocate killed in a crash with a Salvadoran who sought sanctuary in a Colorado Springs church. So this is a story of a man who is an illegal, who has used this sanctuary church thing that the ELCA is pulling, and he's been convicted of drunk driving previously. He was driving with a revoked driver's license, and he, as it says, kills a father of five. This father of five, though, was a liberal who staunchly supported immigrants. Illegals is what I should say. He died when his motorcycle reportedly was hit by that Salvadoran motorist I was just talking about, who sought sanctuary from deportation 7 months ago in a Colorado Springs church. His name, I believe, is Sean Buchanan. And it says his family grieved his death Thursday. And the tragic irony of an August 2nd wreck that involved a member of the very community Buchanan so ardently supported. Buchanan was supporting lawlessness. He was supporting illegals being protected in this country. And one of them ran over him and killed him. And that's what's happening. And I'll show you another picture here. This Valente, it wasn't on purpose. He just overcorrected, went left to center, and ran over the guy on his motorcycle. But he wasn't supposed to be here at all. And he didn't have a license, so he wasn't supposed to be driving at all. Lawlessness, lawlessness, death. And that is liberalism. Liberalism is relativism. There are no absolutes. They are by nature lawless. They become their authority. So they will tell you what's right and wrong. Not the Bible, not the law of the land, their opinion. And who was it? We were talking yesterday, Charlie, whether you talking about the lady who was talking at, what's the guy, Kirk, Charlie Kirk? And he's talking to a girl, and what is it she says?
She said, facts don't matter. He repeated her to, like, are you joking? And she said, yes, facts don't matter. Feelings are the only things that are real.
Okay, but as crazy as that sounds, that is liberalism. Liberalism is not based on facts. They don't believe in absolutes. You can't base anything on facts when you don't believe there are actually any hardcore absolute facts. You will only use facts to support your feelings. And that's what liberalism does. There's the fella who killed that man. The Gazette reported that court records showed, suggested, I don't know what that means, it showed that this guy named Ramirez had yet to fulfill a previous sentence for drunken driving when the crash happened last week. He had been sentenced to a year of probation in August 2018 after pleading guilty in 2017. Now I want to say something. We do not hate that man because of his race. We don't even hate him for his national origin or what do they call that? Wherever he goes, wherever he lived in the first place. The country he comes from. We don't hate him at all. Now, we're disgusted by him because his lawlessness has resulted in a death. But our problem, I don't care if the guy was as white as could be from Germany. Our problem is being here illegally and not obeying our laws. Drunk driving, driving without a license, and killing a man. And if you will just do your own research, you'll see the amazingly sad numbers of people who are dead today
killed by people who should not have even been in the country. Illegals, they should not have been here. And many of them wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the Democrat Party and progressive Republicans, like John Kasich. And those people are in this country illegally because of the Democrat liberals and progressives and progressive Republicans, and they're here breaking our laws and killing people. And they shouldn't be. And we also want to say this. We do not celebrate this young father's death in any way, shape, or form. I'm not up here gloating. I'm up here just pointing out liberalism will kill. Want to know how many babies have died in America because of abortion? It's liberals and progressives. Every baby aborted in this country is aborted because of liberal and progressive politicians and judges. Every one of them. Proverbs 24:17-18 says, "Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away from his wrath from him." In other words, it's actually counterproductive if you gloat and rejoice in these things, because God will back off. We simply point out the irony and what's called poetic justice of it all. Proverbs 1:29-30 says, we talked about fear of the Lord in our Sunday school when Steve was teaching this morning, "For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." That is a nutshell of how liberalism is going to end. And it ends that way for a lot of people while they're still before the second coming among the living today. They eat of the fruit of their own way. In other words, if the Bible says to do something and you won't do it, you'll pay a price. Even Christians, by the way. Remember, is it Uzzah? Saw the Ark of the Covenant falling off the cart. Reached up to save it from hitting the ground, and yet he died. Why? Because God said you carry it with staves, not on a cart, and you don't touch it or you die. And it's that simple. Finally, Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Liberals are sowing to the wind, and they're going to reap the whirlwind. And before, but even after the rapture, it's really going to get bad. It's going to get ugly.
Thank you. Our new DVD being added to the arsenal is Sign Language for Everyone by Dr. Kathy Rice.
That's a book.
Well, this is a DVD. And so I'm sure the book is good too, but this is one of those where I didn't read the book. I watched the movie. and it comes with audio. Somehow they practice the audio with sign language. But anyway, it's a complete four-hour course. And we're just going to ask people, only take it if you're actually going to use it. Don't take it and let it sit on the shelf. But now, the thing with sign language, just like Spanish and anything else, you got to use it or you lose it. And I actually was learning a good bit of sign language back in the 90s, but I didn't have anybody else to sign with, so I totally lost it. Martha has signed for numerous people. She was telling me she signed for Peter Ruckman down at Landmark Baptist Church in Cincinnati. Yeah. Who else, anybody we would know that you've signed for?
I signed for the governor of the state of Ohio.
Rhodes?
Yep, Rhodes.
Wow.
I signed for him. In fact, I've got a framed picture of me doing that.
Wow.
And then I've also signed for B.R. Lakin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Dr. B.R. Lakin, he's legend. He was on the radio station. One radio station covered everything east of the Mississippi. And back in the first half of the 20th century, he was one of the most well-known and respected fundamental preachers in the country and in the world. So that's pretty amazing.
Martha's famous too.
Yeah, she is. All right, let's go ahead and read here in Luke chapter 2. We're going to cover verses 6 through 14. And that's you jump in with the even verses with me. So start there in verse 6 and read with me. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. God's people say amen.
Amen.
So Jesus is born. And every December we get really into the idea and the story, but it's not just a December story. The birth of Jesus Christ is Christian. It is a Christian story. It is the story of Christianity. Christianity is a person, not a religion. Christianity is not a denomination. I've told people, we don't even use the name Baptist on our door anymore because here in Ohio, the word Baptist has become so meaningless. It's like calling someone a racist. It doesn't mean anything anymore. And the word Baptist, but in reality, the name Baptist to me is very important because the Baptists, I believe, are the closest to biblical Christianity to ever exist. And so if anybody asks me, what kind of Christian are you? I don't hesitate to tell them I'm a biblical Baptist. But you have to say Bible-believing Baptist or biblical Baptist because most Baptists today, you know, they aren't anything. I mean, they don't stand for anything and they fall for everything. But the word Baptist isn't a denomination. There are denominations who use the name Baptist, like the Southern Baptist, the American Baptist, the Free Will Baptist. But the word Baptist isn't a denomination. It's a description of what you believe. And that's why I identify when I'm asked as a Baptist. Well, as a Christian, that's not a denomination. Same with the word Baptist. Being a Christian means you identify with the person of Jesus Christ. And that's why we make a big deal about Jesus in December and not Santa Claus or Rudolph or, you know, anything like that. Now, we're not going to go around condemning everybody that gets into that stuff and has fun with it. It's no different than the comic books, video games. It's no different, really. But we don't want to take away from the message. Jesus is here. Jesus is born. So in verses 6 and 7, that's where we start. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, up until the word because, people like Stephen and Charlie and Olivia and Mariah and Matt and Lori and some of those who've had babies recently. I remember when I read this right after Mariah was born, my firstborn, and I'm holding her and I'm just thinking about Jesus being in that condition. And, you know, they rely on you. You have to make sure they're fed. You have to make sure they're clothed. You have to make sure they're cleaned up in their diapers. And you have to do that. And as Charlie and Olivia were talking about it yesterday, and, you know, she said that Charlie will say he's changed the diaper and done the dishes or something. And she's like, and, you know. And so I was thinking yesterday, somebody posted on social media, my husband just did the dishes. I guess I'm supposed to throw some sort of parade now for him. But, you know, babies are a handful. And that's why you're not going to hear me get up here and browbeat and criticize people for not showing up sometimes for church when they have babies. And sometimes, if you're in Matt's condition, probably, I don't even know if they went to church today, because you got the stomach flu running through your family. You don't want to share it with the whole church. And so that's the kind of thing you're dealing with. Well, I don't believe Jesus ever got sick, as far as the flu and everything. That's a part of the curse. But he still was a little baby, and so he had to be fed and taken care of. They put him in the swaddling clothes and all that. And so I emphasize how I think it's amazing just to think of Jesus in that condition, and he did it so he could come and die for your sins. He left heaven, the glories of heaven, to do that for you and for me. And many sermons and Sunday school lessons have turned the no room for them in the inn into quite a thing. How many of you heard messages on, you know, there's no room for them in the inn? What about you? Is there room in your heart for Jesus? There was no room in the inn. That's kind of a Bible abuse. Because it doesn't say that they rejected the little baby and didn't want him around. It just, you know, it's no vacancy. So people act like the owner should have kicked some other family out. I mean, think about that. There was no room for them in the inn, so they couldn't stay in the inn. What was he supposed to do? You know, just grab another family and say, get out of here. You know, that wouldn't have been very Christian. Yeah, they didn't just kick them out to the curb.
The Waltons let people stay in the barn.
Yeah, see? The Waltons. The reality is, there was simply no vacancy, and the owner was just doing what he was supposed to do. And I say that because I just want to encourage you to listen to what's being said and taught, and just judge it by the Scripture like Acts 17:11 tells us to. And you'll realize a lot of the sermons you hear from people are a bit unbiblical, quite a stretch. And we're here to be biblical, amen? And verse 8 says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field. Now, this is where how your inflection and your emphasis matters, but in this case, it's true either way. You could say, and there were in the same country shepherds. Or you could say, and there were in the same country shepherds. See the difference? They're both true. These shepherds were in the country, but they were country shepherds. Amen?
Right.
A couple of you are awake. Come on. Get it? And so they were country when country wasn't even cool. I hope so, because I think in heaven we'll get to hear all that. Now, being a country shepherd is a very slow and difficult job unless you actually like to bivouac. And Charlie, what does bivouac mean? Oh, you looked at the look on your face. I'm sorry, I did not mean to put you on the spot and you not know what.
You're camping out.
But you're camping without a tent,
right,
without a sleeping bag.
You're also camping with the animals.
Yeah.
When they come to town, they can smell you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The reason I thought Charlie would know it, and I do apologize for putting you on the spot like that, but the reason I thought he would know is because when you read about wars, especially back in the 19th century, and I thought the Russian wars you read about might have talked about it, but that might even be a Russian term that, if I remember right. But what they would do is, I just read a book by Stonewall Jackson. I don't want you to think I'm a walking encyclopedia or a walking dictionary. Oh, it's German. But several times they would be walking, and I mean, these guys sometimes walk 20, 30 miles for several days, you know, 20 miles a day. I mean, they do 100 miles in 5 days, and without good shoes and everything. And when it came time to stop, they didn't have tents or anything, and they would just drop and lay somewhere. They tried to find a soft piece of property there, and they would just sleep right there. Tens of thousands of men, that's called bivouacking, and they would just sleep out under the stars. And then a couple of times Stonewall Jackson wrote his wife and described how that he was sleeping so good, and all of a sudden it started to rain. And he said, and we just laid there because there's no place to go. He just laid there and he couldn't sleep. And he just lay there. Well, the country shepherds lived like that. That's how they lived. And so just give you an idea of what you're reading while you're reading it. And verse 9 says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." In Sunday school class, I was teaching this one time, and the kids were like, "Man, what would that be like?" Well, the class I was teaching, they were all from the Near East side of Columbus. And I said, "Well, it'd be like you playing out in your backyard at night, and the ghetto birds show up and put the spotlight on you." these country shepherds just out there hanging out, and all of a sudden, big boom, spotlight. Imagine. That's what it says.
Window.
Mm.
Somebody, man, I'll tell you what, just the whole house lit up.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the middle of the night.
Don't stop.
And I mean, I was like, take me out.
Yeah. And you've seen that kind of thing before, though. These guys, they had never seen anything like this before. There are helicopters, you know, ever. And
it wasn't, there was the second coming of Christ. They were looking for something.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.